I'd want to start off by saying good evening, everyone. I'm glad to see that you all made it here tonight. Now, as you know, this month's theme for Wednesday night devotionals is what Ninth and Main deserves. And I've been tasked with the assignment, dedicated Bible students. And so what does Ninth and Main deserve? Dedicated Bible students. And this is based upon 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. That's going to be our text. And the Bible reads in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent to show yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I'm also reminded that Paul would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 13, he would say, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." 1 Timothy 4, verses 13, 15, and 16. And I'm also reminded about what the Apostle Peter would write in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 11. He would say, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And you may be asking yourself, what does that verse have to do with being a dedicated Bible student? Well, brothers and sisters, and yes, even non-members, it has everything to do with being a dedicated Bible student. Let's hear what Peter said one more time. He said, "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Brothers and sisters, and yes, non-members, we have enemies of the soul that are trying to keep us from being the dedicated Bible student that God wants us to be. And we know that according to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, Paul would say, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy." And so our God, He is a jealous God, and He doesn't want to share us with no one, and we shouldn't want to be shared by the world either. And I'm also reminded that Jesus would say in Matthew 22, starting at verse 37, "For ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And so, what is it going to take for us to be the dedicated Bible students that God wants us to be? Because it's a sobering thought to know that on the day of judgment, instead of hearing, "Come, you blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," that instead of hearing that, we could hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And why would we hear those sobering words? Well, it may be because we let those enemies of the soul keeping us from being the dedicated Bible student that God wants us to be. And so I want to encourage all y'all by going back to the Bible and looking at some biblical examples of how we can be a dedicated Bible student. The prophet Ezra would write in Ezra 7 and verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Brothers and sisters, and yes, non-members, that verse is threefold, because we learned that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. And so let's notice where all that had took place. Ezra had prepared his heart. It all begins in the heart, in the mind. So we must desire the Word of God. And when we do come to the Word of God, to the law of the Lord, right before we're about to read it, let's follow after the example of a young Samuel when he would say, "Speak, for your servant hears." 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10. And so we must desire the Word of God. I'm reminded about what Job would write in the long ago. He would say, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job 23 and verse 12. And then Jeremiah would say, "Thy words were found and I did eat them." Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. And Jesus himself, when being tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4, would say, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And then he would go on to say in the very next chapter, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Why? "For they shall be filled." Matthew 4 verse 4 and Matthew 5 verse 6. And we know that for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14 and verse 17. And so we must all, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. And we need to be having grace and peace multiplied to us. And you may be asking yourself, how does that happen? Well, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, Peter would go on to say, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So we must grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And so I have a question. What is keeping y'all from being the dedicated Bible students that God wants y'all to be? Is it those enemies of the soul that try to hinder us every day, that try to get our minds taken off of the Word of God? Well, we need to remember, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 through 6. And so, as I come to a close, I want to encourage y'all with the words that the psalmist would write in Psalm 119, starting at verse 9. He would say, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I have sought you with my whole heart. O Lord, let me not depart from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so, if we're going to be able to sit down and actually have the Bible take its full effect, we need to put some things aside. And we also need to remember to pick some things up. And you may be asking yourself, what do you mean by that? James would give us the perfect example of this. In James 1 verse 21, the Bible says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive." Receive with what? "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." James 1 verse 21. And so I leave you with the words of Jeremiah. Actually, the words that the Lord spoke, that Jeremiah wrote down. The Lord said, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And so, there may be some here tonight that are visiting, and you may have some questions about what has been said during our services. And well, we have plenty here who would love to sit down and get those questions answered. How? By going back to the Bible. Would you like a personal Bible study? We would love to sit down with you and open up the pages of God's Word. And when we study the Bible, we learn that the plan of salvation is simple. God says that we first must hear. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Next, we must believe, because if we do not believe that Jesus is He, we will die in our sins, according to John 8 verse 24. And after that, we must repent, because God has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness, according to Acts 17 and verse 31. God has overlooked these times of ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And then we must confess that Jesus is the Christ, because if we don't confess Jesus to be the Christ, then He's not going to confess us before His Father who is in heaven, according to Matthew 10, 32 through 33. And next, we must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, according to Acts 2 and verse 38. And he doesn't stop there. After you've come out of the watery grave, of baptism, you must be thou faithful unto death. And Jesus said, I will give you the crown of life, according to Revelation 2:10. And now there may be some here who have been baptized. You have obeyed the gospel. And it may be the case that somewhere down the road, you let that fire within you stop burning. And you've let your Bible sit at home and collect dust. Well, we don't want that to be the case anymore, because we love you and we want what is best for your soul. So won't you come forward and won't you let us pray for you? We love you as we together stand and sing.